Hello and welcome to The Face Downs, your source for TCG news and all things Yu-Gi-Oh! I'm Lucas.
I'm Ruben.
And I'm Joe.
That was pretty quick, Joe.
Oh my gosh, that's crazy. It's almost like
you must have predicted what we were going to say over Discord before we said it, so you could respond like you were in person.
Almost like I am. We come in here from Palmerston North.
We are coming to you from a rainy Palmerston North. We are in person together. We are in studio.
I never thought the first time would be in Palmy.
No, neither did I.
We both live in Auckland. You live down here. I assumed you'd come up for like a regional or something, but you were first to it.
Exactly. And I managed to get you guys down here for the freebie free and the multi-format.
So. Yes.
Been a good weekend.
Phenomenal weekend. I've personally never been to Palmerston North, so I thought, this is a great time.
I came once, it was like completely pitch black. I played a gig in a small bar and then stayed the night at someone's left at 5 in the morning. So I have never seen Palmerston North during the daytime, is what I'm saying.
I mean, it's alright.
It's
She's pretty cute, Gorge.
The food's good.
Food is good. Burger King is great.
Slow service, but we got there.
Yeah, shout outs to both Palmerston North Burger Kings. The slowest Burger Kings I've ever been to, but like good food.
Redefining fast food.
Yeah. Making us wait for it just made us so much happier to get it.
I just was humbled by the experience. So yes, we're coming to you live from Palmerston North. We are coming off the large weekend hosted at Valkyrie Games that included a 3v3 event and a multi-format event that has just concluded today. So 3v3 was held yesterday. We had an amazing turnout, 48 players.
Yeah, it was huge.
49 including the judge and 50 including a bystander. So
exactly.
Yes.
Technically... 50 people in attendance,
Which rivals the largest event you've ever held in Palmerston North and is the largest in-store event. Is that correct for Valkyrie?
Yeah, it's Valkyrie's biggest ever Yu-Gi-Oh! Event. So it was huge for us. It definitely stretched us to our capacity, but we do have an upstairs area which they are working on.
Yeah, they have like a whole upstairs that was completely empty that we could have actually held
bigger than downstairs
in.
As well. Yeah. So like, there's also a back room which was about double the size of the room.
It was ironic because people downstairs were so cramped, and we would go upstairs. Like, oh, there's so much room. There's like free tables everywhere.
Unfortunately, though, that did mean that we were hanging out on the low end tables. But
I thought Top Cut should have been on the up floor. You know,
true.
They could keep their deck secret or whatever.
I mean, not like it wasn't too much.
It was only four rounds with Top Cut.
So we were at exactly 16 teams.
Exactly.
The decision was to keep it at four rounds because it meant that you are playing the hardest you can. Because there is no leeway. So obviously, at a five-round tournament, you would have an XO and three X1s.
They would
be the ones topping.
Yeah, there were more X1s than there were top four spots.
Yes, and that's what the decision was, to keep it at four rounds. Because obviously, the 17th team puts it to a five-round event in order to have the fairest tiebreakers and everything.
People just didn't want to play for an extra hour because it was already going to be quite long.
And I also think, like, it's a different format entirely. Like, I think maybe people are more willing to play five rounds individually, and I think maybe four rounds as a team is a bit more sustainable.
I also think with the four rounds, Dino made a good point when I brought up five rounds. If we did do the five rounds, it was kind of unfair for the team that went undefeated into the fifth round, because all they could literally just show up and scoop, and they were still top. So it kind of takes away the competitive
advantage. Well, it was unfair for the team they were up against.
Yes.
Because there's a chance that, like... Well, I guess it doesn't really affect their win rate.
No.
But, you know, like, if you go up against the finals team and they just scoop, it's kind of crap, and you might lose to another team that has better tiebreakers or something because of that.
Yeah.
Because maybe there was two 5-0s or two 4-0s and one of them.
Or maybe it's like a 3-1-1, like a draw.
Right, yeah.
You just
another instance where it messed with your tiebreakers that your final round opponent just scooped.
Yeah. And it was...
We've been covering up the fact. Not that we were in a... contention for
and that's fine. I think because this event was run under the new ban list, obviously it comes into effect in New Zealand as of tomorrow, so the decision was made to hold this event at the updated February 7th ban list. And I think that's because people were kind of done with the previous format. Like, it was kind of done. Like, we knew that it was going to be either V-Dub, Tri-Brigade, you know, it was pretty much Drytron. Like, you're just going to see
Protoss Turbo or Featherstorm Turbo.
Yeah,
and both of those were mostly gone by the end of this list, and we were all pretty keen to just not have to side for that stuff, I think.
Yeah.
And to be honest as well, I think that, in like 12, 18 hours' time, we are in the new format.
So yes.
It just did not make sense to play a format that literally had 48 hours'
dead
time.
Dead format.
No one wants to play a dead format, I don't think. And I'm happy we did do the new format, even though I don't think I really prepared that well for it.
You were missing Protoss.
It opened my eyes, and probably showed me how much I relied on Protoss. in the Wellington Regional one.
It is, yeah, it was a touch of a free win button. And that's fine. Like, the thing is that, like, kind of all decks at their inception have had that. Like, you think of, you know, Drytron when that first came out. 3 Ben 10. Oh, 1 Ben 10, 3 Eva, 2 Eva, 1 Eva. Like, you know, you had the accessibility to so much. Obviously, Sword Soul, the not even hard work to find Protoss.
No.
And then, obviously, Lurlisk Tri-Brigade having the ability to just essentially set up one of the most formidable boards with protection.
And then occasionally, like, they just draw into a trap that said I win the game.
Yeah, exactly. So I think it was a really refreshing event. I think people were excited for the experience. This event was also Grand Creators legal. It's been out for a week now. And how do we think in terms of Grand Creator's appearance? What do we think?
Everywhere.
Adventure is out there, and it is everywhere.
I think it was definitely a rude awakening for us around one, because, like, well, for me especially, because I hadn't really done a lot of testing against the Adventurer engine outside of our games.
Yeah.
And round one, I go up against PK
Adventures,
and yeah. I definitely think that is probably the strongest deck of the format right now, just because of how many extenders it's got, how many hand traps it can run, and the fact it can just put out a free Omni Negate. And first game, I went up against that, and I just was not prepared for it. And yeah, we unfortunately that kind of started our day off in a bad way.
Yeah, the first thing that happened to me was I tried to Ash Nadir Serpent, and I got gammoned, and I went, I deserve that. Yeah. It's like my first opponent, I didn't know what he was playing. I assumed it was like some kind of Invoke Dogmatica Shadol deck, because it was Scott Beardsley.
Yep.
And he always plays that deck. So like he starts off with the DS7, I'm like, I'm just going to Ash this. Like, that's not a very strong open. Gamma, I'm like, yeah, okay. And he still didn't have a very good open. Like, it was like Ecclesia Maximus stuff and passed on a Flirtley and a Schism. And I'm like, oh, I can absolutely beat that. And then looked at my hand and it's like, well, I've got 3 beat-up spells and a Nyan. That does nothing. Top decked into right of Aramecia, so I did the adventure lines and, like, you know, tried to play, you know, he stopped my King Long, he Ashed it, and I was like, oh, that kind of sucks. So I managed to, like, establish the adventure stuff, but it wasn't enough on its own. And then I didn't lose a single game for the rest of the event. I literally 2-0'd my next 3 opponents with V-Dub adventures. It was not close when I drew at least a V-Dub card and a adventure card. Like, it is unfair.
Yeah, and it was rough, because, I mean, being a 4-round tournament, as we just talked about, like, it was
no room for error.
Sudden death. Yeah. And we lost round one.
Which means we probably wouldn't have topped, even if we went undefeated, topped, unfortunately, just due to tiebreak.
Yes, yeah. And that's fine. I think, realistically, the Adventurer engine is so powerful. The flexibility that it has with so many different decks is truly something that people are just, I think, kind of grasping now. Like, they're understanding its versatility, that it may just be more than a token in a level 7 Omni Negate with a bounce. And
it's,
I think,
also a 4 and a 7.
It's a free level 4 and a free level 7.
As I found out.
And I think that all in all, it's a really powerful engine. For me, what was the most interesting personally playing Hero Striker was just the skill drain.
Like, Hero Striker?
Yeah, Hero, sorry. Just going by what Konami call it.
Yeah, did you enjoy normal summoning Stratos and activating Shadow Mist Effect in Grave to add Mali?
No, but I loved activating Fusion Destiny.
Yeah. Even at 2, feels alright.
Even at 2, it's pretty strong. For me, it was skill drain. The presence of skill drain was just so powerful against Striker.
It's your new worst enemy. You thought Io was your enemy.
Oh, no, I will take a skill drain over an Io every single day, because I can out Io's with my spell. I can out skill drains with my spell cards. I can't out Io's with spells.
That's always what I've said about those cards, is that Io only loses to established boards because you can't draw into removal. And skill drain, while it does stop your game plan, like, you could draw into the removal for it. The removal for Io has to be drawn before Io is activated or you lose the game.
Yes.
Effectively. Like MST Cosmic.
Yeah.
Or it has to be chainable. Yeah. Must be chainable. But yeah, I think really strong event. We did have an Auckland team take it out. Sorry, Palmerston North.
Yeah. The 4th 3v3. I feel so upset because, like, I don't know. I wanted to take him down because, like,
you want to stop him?
He asked us to be on a team and we're like, no, we're going team face downs. He's like, oh, enjoy losing because I've never lost a 3v3. Oh. And then he went, He went 1-3 in Swiss and still won. I'm so salty.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you win the
Dino
matches.
Dino simply can't lose.
You win the matches record. That matter. That's
what
the
I'm
thing.
Salty about is the fact that I'm pretty sure he is actually just blessed. Like,
yeah.
If we were, like, I'm pretty sure if we were on his team, we probably would have won just because, like, we would have drawn better hands somehow and, like, had sackier turns because Dino was on our team.
But I think, so congratulations to the Auckland team that took it out.
It was Dino,
Connor, and Aaron.
Who are all great players. Like,
amazing players, all three of them.
I'm friendly to shit-talking them. I'm not actually mad at them.
Yeah, so yeah, that was...
Team Overcats, I believe it was.
Overcats?
Opposite of Underdogs.
Oh, yes.
Oh, dear.
I mean, I like anyway. That. That's a fun one.
You know, more creative than Team Facedowns,
yeah.
I guess.
Yeah. So, branding. Speaking of which, we were wearing our t-shirts. We will be debuting them or, you know, showing them off at more events that we do attend.
I can check a photo of them on the pod.
Yeah, sure. Yeah. We've got, like, gorgeous t-shirts that Joe ironed together and Lucas designed. So, those were fun to wear throughout the day. So the winning event, or the winning team, was Team Overcats. This consisted of Prank and Adventures, Shadol, and Sword Soul. Unfortunately, we don't have any deck lists, which is a wee bit of a shame. Obviously, going into the new format, it can be a wee bit tough.
Putting them up.
Oh, yes. We might, yeah, if you
might have them for the podcast ready on YouTube. Anyway.
Yeah,
maybe.
Yeah. And if you, you know, be sure to check out Your Move TCG for those events and the profiles. So I think the standout for me in that top team was probably the Prank and Adventures. I think really solidifying the power of that engine. And as we've discussed this, the things that Prankids had no problem resolving their effects, except the first one.
It reminds me of V-Dub, actually, where often, like, the first one, once you've jumped that King Long and I've resolved that, I literally in my head go, oh, I won.
Yeah.
Like, there's nothing my opponent can do now that stops me. And Prankids is very much that way.
I think Adventurer is very, like, I think people haven't realized how strong that is, like, yet. I mean, obviously, top players do know it's really good, right? But I don't think it's been fully, developed in a way. Like,
it's so new.
Yeah, and, like, people haven't probably fleshed out the best decks yet.
Yes. I gotta tell you, playing with it and reading about it are two very different things.
Yes.
Because, of course, when you design a Yu-Gi-Oh! Deck, you have a perfect storm, right? Like, my V-Dub deck ends on Tuberon and a Beatrice to dump Scythe, so one of them reborns it with protection, and then a Chuche to prevent you from getting chaliced or something like that, right? Crazy strong deck. But, like, I did that once, I think. And even when I did it, I'd sided out Scythe, so I reborned a Token Collector instead. Still pretty good. But where it really comes down to it is, like, that first game against Scott Beardsley. It took him, like, 5 turns to kill me. Because I had Draco back, and I had Griffin Rider, and I had the Token. And the Token can't be destroyed by battle. Draco back is Compulse. Griffin Rider is a repeatable Omni. And I was just, like, grinding out value from that engine that just wasn't, at first glance, in my opinion, like, what it was for.
Yeah.
And well, it like wears your opponent down, like how Dryden did in Tri-Brigade Zodiac.
Yes.
The Dryden would wear your opponent down, and then the Tri-Brigade's killed.
And it was like, that same sentiment carried for like Zulich. You're like, okay, Dryden 4 back row.
Totally.
So threatening. Even the, you know, the adventurous stuff, shuffling back your Griffin Rider, drawing a card for turn. You're just cycling your deck for a recurable Omni Negate as well as loading up your grave.
And I think one of my favorite things about it in the decks that it's good in, Prank Kids, Virtual World, and Phantom Knights, is they're all decks that, like, Imperm wasn't a particularly strong card against.
No.
And it doesn't add an Imperm target. None of the cards that you really use in the Adventure Engine lose to Imperm.
Mm.
And I'm a strong believer that if you play a deck that doesn't lose to a certain hand trap, you shouldn't add engines that do.
Mm.
It's why I've never liked the idea of, like, you should put Invoked in Virtual World because you don't normal summon. It's like, yes, but now my opponent's Imperm does something.
Mm.
Whereas
yes.
before, it was like a literal dead card in their hand, which was so good.
I think for me, the Adventurer engine, the thing I've noticed the most about it isn't the fact that it's an Omni Negate that they put out first. It's like they put up even more board presence than they were before, and you waste, even if you stop the Adventurer engine, you've wasted your Ash, you've wasted something on it.
I'm already scared of Phantom Knight for that reason, because I already hate having Ash against that deck, because it only hits Bardiche, and by that point you're already kind of dead.
And like, if you waste, say, one or two cards in hand dealing with the Adventurer engine, they're still going to have a full board or whatever the deck normally does anyway, and you can't get around that, like, with two or three cards. So, like, it's very... It's just super strong.
It's scary. It's scary. It's scary strong. That it exists, and it's scary we're going into a format dominated by, you know, a better fusion spell than Shadow Fusion.
Spoiler in branded
Albers.
Next painful choice. It's going to go 2-2.
You think so?
You're gonna go
two water enchantress, two right.
Like, I think it's too strong an engine at the moment.
I think it deserves to be.
It deserves toning down to a point where it's still broken, but it's not what it is now. Like, because I feel like it's definitely. I mean, I've seen a lot of things come and go in Yu-Gi-Oh, and like this is one of those ones where you're like, yeah, that's a bit too strong.
It feels like a new game.
Yeah,
it feels a little bit like you're playing a new game, and obviously not every deck is going to play Adventures. No. I think Sword Soul, one of the best decks of the format, isn't going to be big on it. Striker can't play it. And while I think, like, Albers will probably find a build that abuses it, There's also Alba's builds that just don't care and like are just going to max out on hand traps.
That also comes out in April. We're currently in February. So
I do believe that'll come out before a ban list, though. So we're going to be in this format until at least May.
Yes. Again, because we have no longer a kind of a definitive date, your best assumption for any ban list adjustments for those listening will be around the next core set release. Mm. So Dimension Force is scheduled to come out around the 5th of May, if my memory serves me correctly, or just after.
I say, when does Ruben's memory never serve him correctly? He's like the most... perfect memory.
Yu-Gi-Oh! Encyclopedia.
Yeah, exactly. And so anticipate a ban list to be around that time, either before the product releases or just on release, because they'll obviously aim to promote strategies that are coming out in Dimension Force, of which there are many. You've obviously got a lot of nostalgia support, things like the Wither support, which I'm very excited for, the Pendulum support that's coming out in there,
Punk card as well,
the
I think,
Punk support, but then you've also got the new decks, like the Therians and the Scareclaws. Like, there's so many different ways, the like new strategies that are designed to be coming out
so
in that way.
I'm so excited for Therians. I can't wait to equip Absolute Zero from Grave
and
pop my opponent's board.
I think come May, it's probably going to be due for a reset. Like, I don't know if I can go another... 4 months of...
You're going to be saying
Phantom
that for a while, Joe.
I know.
You're
going
to be saying that for a long
like,
time.
I
we just got a reset. I'm so sorry.
we got a small reset, but I think decks like Phantom Knight, Striker... Sorry. need to kind of...
Striker just came back.
They need to, like, either push them on into something new or... wipe them. Like,
I mean,
I think Linkage
pushes Striker somewhere.
Yeah,
new.
I think
that makes them new. Yeah, and
I think we've seen the semi-limited Fusion Destiny, so they're already like, okay, we're not a big fan of everyone having access to this tool.
They also banned it in Japan very quickly.
It wasn't quick. They had it for an entire format.
Yeah.
So there was like a 3 month adjustment in terms of like its relevancy once Destroy Fiends Enforcer was printed.
That's faster than like.
Well, no, the card itself wasn't new.
No, but, like, that's faster than, like, Block Dragon got hit, it feels like. Mm-hmm. Block Dragon was, like, popular as a card in, was it April? Was Secret Slayers, Eternity card
April
stuff?
Was, yeah, that was Secret Slayers for us.
And
April
it lived until January, right?
I would be, no.
Rise of the Duelist, it was still legal.
No, Rise of the Duelist came out the same year.
Yeah, but, like, Fusion Destiny lived less than Block Dragon here.
Oh,
that's
sure.
What I'm saying, right? Yeah, like, right. It didn't live very long at all compared to cards that were, like,
that's,
way more broken.
I mean, that's October to end of January, so...
It's 4 months.
October, November, December, January.
I'm saying they're going to ban it, is what I'm saying.
They're going to hit it.
They're going to ban it.
Yeah,
that's the point.
It's going
to
go.
But first, they have to sell OTS 18.
You know...
They've already flubbed that one because it's at 2, and I feel like the price
and also,
is going to be low.
I don't know we don't know the other two Ultimate Rares. I've got no clue. Like,
I strongly think, like... People are just going to play one Fusion Destiny, or like
potentially,
cut playing it at 3 in a lot of the decks that were playing it, and just go like, "Eh, it's a Verte target. I'd rather have a hand trap."
Yeah, and we do have obviously like the Ghost from the Past too. Obviously, little to none is known about it. It does have obviously the Deco Talker Heat Soul, which actually brings Code Talkers to the meta.
That
like,
deck's going to be really good.
That deck
actually is
really powerful. We are still missing like I believe one more of the Link from Hands, which can search Cybers, the Wind Code Generator, or something similar to that. How they all have the Link from Hands, and then obviously it's got the Boral End Dragon, like a larger rocket payoff. I think obviously we're anticipating seeing the, you know, agents, the structure deck R agent support in there, which would make a lot of sense because it's not in Battle of Chaos, because that set, which we can talk about now, has actually been announced. I believe the last time we recorded, there wasn't much
was
known about
not
it.
Not much about it.
So now we've seen the entire Battle of Chaos set.
Where's the excitement?
I honestly, it's not really the gig.
It's bad.
Yeah, it's not really the gig.
Very much like a Dawn of Majesty kind of set.
It's a Blazing Vortex without the pot.
It'll literally pass us by and nothing will change.
Yeah.
I would say it's closer maybe even to like a Lightning Overdrive set where there's like maybe one...
There's not a card. There's no card.
There's nothing?
Nothing.
No, it's like a Blazing Vortex, but it doesn't have Pot of Prosperity.
It's like Blazing Vortex without the one card that
Financial Advice? Don't buy a case.
Yeah, we're not financial advisors. However, I would...
Although...
You know, if you are a big nostalgia support fan, things like your DMs, your Blue Eyes...
Then
go support your local stores and grab those.
Yeah. And grab those as singles specifically.
And if you're interested in the Dinomorphia stuff, that's really cool. Yeah. Once Dimension Force comes out, like getting Rek's Turn and their fusion from Banishing from Grave... that's super interesting as well.
I don't know. I feel like with Dinomorphia, they let the dual avatar person back in. Like, just designing an archetype that's like, you know, it's cool. It's got some things, but it's like ultimately, you read their cards, you're like, where's the 3+1? Where's like, you know, you read Moye and then you read their searcher and you're
Teresia.
Like, So Moye extends you, makes a token and draws a card, and this one just gets you one trap.
One trap.
That's it. Like, it doesn't feel like the archetype that gets 3 secret rares and a ton of love.
Yeah, I look forward to bulk diving to get all the cards that I'm looking for, because nothing I'm particularly searching for is at a high caliber.
I have a strong feeling I'm going to get those DDD cards for free.
Yeah, I mean, the only one to hunt for is the Fluandres.
And if you're lucky, there is that Dark Magician in there.
You do have the 25th anniversary.
You can gamble thousands of dollars, actually. What are we talking about?
You can pass.
Support your OTS stores. Why don't you buy some steel product and see if you can get that 25th anniversary
Dark Magician? Financial advice podcast. You buy 6 cases of Puck. How about that?
From your store that needs the most support.
I think it is worth maybe briefly talking about Fluandres. I think that card is enough to push them forward. Not so much to tier 1 or anything, but it definitely helps that deck. Like, that's
so
nutty.
I would agree with you. Yeah. However, the format has completely shaped up into removing Droll and adding Lancia.
Correct.
Due to the adventure tokens now showing up. So while I think they are losing less to a side deck card that hurts them more, Lancia essentially turns off that deck at the same time.
I would also say as well, maybe, you know, Fluandres going into a full established adventure board.
Probably not the hottest.
Not. Yeah, I would struggle going second.
I'd definitely be on like Stormfalls. I feel like Stormfalls are a good option.
Like Stormfalls?
Yeah.
Why not? I mean,
because at
why
any,
so?
Well, but at any time that turn, you contribute a card. So it means that if you have an Eglin and a Stormfall, you can just search for something and then immediately tribute summon for your Impin.
That's true. But I mean, like, they have their own Stormfall.
Yeah, but it's not quick.
It's not quick play. Which is something that actually comes up quite a bit.
I guess it's lingering.
Yeah, and I mean, Stormforth was a really powerful card in today's event that was held in the multi-format tournament.
Yeah.
So today we had 19 attendees.
Fluandres the evil swarm of this format.
it could go 3-1 at your next event. Or 4-1 at your next event, actually. Yeah. So today we had our multi-format event. So this was a format that was eventually designed. I believe it was you and Greg in collaboration.
Greg,
so
100%.
Greg designed this. Yeah. You promoted it. Greg Mansfield from Dice Jar Games. Yeah. Good old Greg Griggles. Can't wait to be there. By the way, Facedowns will be attending the Dunedin Regional in April.
Yes.
Looking forward to commentating and judging.
We might be doing some live commentary.
Yes.
Yes, I mean, I won't spoil too much, but Greg has spoken to me about a pretty cool setup for that as well.
So. Oh, yes. Okay. I can't wait. I've definitely heard some things too.
Yeah.
So today was the multi-format event. So this involves an event that was actually the first episode Joe was ever on.
That's true.
So
we were going to go down.
And then it didn't happen. And so this was an event that is decks from December 2014 backwards. So any event of a larger caliber, any deck with a event success and recorded results was able to be played. We saw quite a diverse turnout, I would say.
Less diverse than what we've seen at
yeah.
the first one. Like there was like actually repetitive decks in this one, which is something that we haven't seen all that much of, but I mean
you had a lot
was,
of
it
had,
was for the most part diverse though.
The you bottom had, end of it was pretty yeah. like wild, like
was
there was
cool.
a lot of random jank that was going on alongside the dragon rulers and spell books that were everywhere.
Just before we start on it, I think one special thing I would like to mention was like last night we all got together and there was about 4 or 5 people that wanted to play but they didn't have a deck, so we literally just got everyone's bulk into a room and just like built 4 decks. I think we got in the end 3 or 4
we
decks.
Built Evil Swarm, Clefort, Dragon Rulers
and harpies
for people.
Yeah,
so,
and like the franticness in which we were like, does anyone have Karma Cuts?
And like,
I want to play BA.
Yeah, finding lists that like were excluding certain cards that we just didn't have access to.
Yeah,
like,
I think you were going down a train with Clefort. Like, I need to find one that isn't playing 3 Vanities, but like that kind of sucks ass because the best card in that deck is Vanities.
And I was trying to find a BA list without Karma Cut. Couldn't find one, and when
I finally did, it
was like a bad list, and I was like, I can't play that.
You find a list by like a 14-year-old that showed up to a YCS and still topped because they were playing VA without Karma Cut.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, I mean, really great turnout. I think, our little adventure last night definitely provided a lot more attendance today. I think
cool,
all in all, we saw a pretty, diverse attendance. Notably, there were three decks that were all represented at the threes or in triplets. That was Dragon Rulers, Spellbooks, and Klee Forts. Mm. And I think the honorary mention for Dragon Rulers at a number four was the Lightsworn Rulers that was being played.
Yeah, it was Lightsworn Rulers.
I can't remember if it was like a Herman Hansen or something. It was like a Dragon Ruler. Yeah. It was playing Tempest and Blaster. I played against it. And it was obviously on Eclipse Wyvern to search JD.
It was cool.
It was hella cool. I did win by deck out, though. Mm-hmm. I played against him, and he got down to five cards in deck. I mind-crushed his two JDs, and he's just like, I don't really have, a win card left. So he just decked himself.
Yeah, I did see you get hit for Honest, twice with Honest. It was just 11, bounce, next turn.
Yeah, yeah.
11,
he was normally
bounce.
Honest and bouncing it, but I was the one that managed to Honest him, because game one, he sat down a JD. I had two Tel Knights on the field, and I go, battle phase, attack? And he goes do I Necro Gardener? No, I'll be fine. I'm Honest, dead. And he's like, I should have seen that coming. Yeah. I'm the Honest deck.
Speaking of Telenites, I think you weren't the only Telenite.
I was not. I even played and lost to the other Telenite player who, he opened Deneb.
Yeah.
And he was playing two Rota.
I lost the Klee Mirror and...
they opened Scout.
Open Scout. Yeah, Ken opened Strat.
Yeah.
Scout. So
the mirrors back in these times were often miserable because it was
They were. Yeah.
Well, they were just so quickly determined.
The first
person
to get off to the races just wins.
Yes. Well, once you snowball, it's just that's when you keep going.
Yes.
Unless you're playing the Shadol Mirror and then it's a miserable...
And then it's, I'm really
poly,
don't want to
each other.
Yeah.
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 So we'll go over the decks, I suppose, that we're playing.
Yeah. So...
Ruben was on...
I was on Klee Forts. Yeah. This is a deck that I'd built myself. This was a Robin Somme list from the YCS Sydney in December 2014. I think I potentially anticipated more Shadol attendance, and that was definitely the reasoning behind this list. In fact, speaking with Keza, Keza actually attended this event, and the largest meta threat at this moment in time was Chaos Dolls. So that would be decks involving your black and white dragons, your baby chaos dragons, things like Eclipse Wyvern to get dads. And this deck was mainly a lot more in tuned to outing things like constructs with main decked Stormforths, as well as main decked Shadow Imprisoning Mirrors. Because I think personally, I was expecting more of a dark presence. I was thinking more of dark attendance.
Shadol, which there actually wasn't. So
there was no BA, and there was
a
Shadol player.
You played against Spellbooks, the Mirror, that card didn't really come up.
Yeah, so it was an interesting turnout all in all. And I think that the side deck that was chosen was probably one that I also quite enjoyed. The thing with these older formats, and this is something that we obviously have all experienced, is that it is a lot harder to find these particular side deck cards because they are from a older time. In particular, I was missing things like Spell Shattering Arrows and Ojama Trios. For reference, Ojama Trios' most recent printing was the Structure Deck Unlimited Dino Smashers Fury. And I think all in all, this deck did fine. I went 3-2. I lost the Mirror and two Spellbooks. And I think there wasn't much I could have done in either of those matches. Like I said, the Mirror for Klee Forts is whoever gets Scout and sticks it first is the winner. Mm-hmm. And then in the case of Spellbooks, the amount of Phoenix Wing Blasts my Scouts experienced that match was crazy.
I mean, you did get to draw Scout after that happened.
Yeah, you do. It does just go on top, so I do get to draw Scout. To be honest, it was... You know, that was one of the toughest things. And once Spellbooks do start resolving cards, it is a bit tougher to catch up. Especially when, judgments are very threatening because...
And they can fate your...
sacrifices so that they don't trigger.
Joe, how'd your games go?
So I played Clifford.
this is Helmet Cast
I
now.
I went X2 as well. I didn't want to play the deck. So I really, really wanted to play Burning Abyss. Last night I was lying on the floor, for probably about, what,
you're
2 hours?
You're
kicking
your legs like a schoolgirl,
trying to find it.
I'd love to milligraph. That'd be so nice.
So I was trying to find a BA list with the bulk that we had. And the problem we had is, as I said before, we couldn't find Karma cards. So I couldn't do it. So I just went with a Klee Fort list that was quite an average list, to be honest. I had to find something that had two Venethi's Emptiness.
Because we only had two.
I had to find something that only had two Skill Drain because someone else needed to borrow one for a side. So it was a bad list, but it was fun.
I think a running theme with our decks was that we all picked decks that arguably weren't really at their peak in 2014. Like, I played Telenites, you both played Klee Forts, but you didn't get to play Towers Turbo, and I didn't get to play Constellar Diamond.
We didn't stealth either. It was a huge
stealth, you know, yeah.
Like Monolith.
Stealth was insane because of the quote-unquote like magical meltdown protection.
Yeah, so my matchups that I won against Harpies, which was a scary matchup. They can just destroy your scales.
Mm-hmm.
I won against Battery Man.
Yes.
Also a scary matchup because they can just OTK out of nowhere. And I believe Shadow was my other win. And I lost to Spellbooks and Dragon Rollers. So,
fair, yeah.
Yeah, Spellbooks, again, I lost to the same Spellbook player that Ruben lost to, Jaffy. And he just kept fating my scout, and that was the end of that. Like, I just couldn't recover. I found that Clefort kind of doesn't have a good recovery unless... Because it very much is like a... You need two cards to.
I mean, Scout's a crazy card if you have to, if you have an extra deck stacked.
It
you
is,
can sometimes
yeah.
just summon five monsters if you go Scout such a high scale.
The problem I had is like I top deck a Scout against him and he had Jalgan up, so like at that point
yeah,
there, you're like,
fair.
Well, I'm dead. So that went badly. Dragon Rulers. I wish I didn't show the person I was playing against the night before how to beat them, how to beat Clefort, because they actually. Don't do very well.
Oh, was it Skeggs?
No, it was against Shane.
Oh, Shane, yeah.
So I lost to the eventual winner. And he made a Colossal Fighter to bash over my... He double KO'd into my shell.
Yeah.
Double attack one, yeah. And ended up losing that game. But
because Fighter comes back.
Yeah, it comes back and he just attacked again and had more Dragon Rollers. Like, they just stack their grave. And if you don't deal with them, they just come back and win. Like, it's one of those decks.
But that's kind of the nature of this is, like, giving people knowledge and, like, knowledge of this era helps a lot because a lot of the time there were these sort of silver bullet outs to decks that people just knew, like, oh, the way you beat Clefort is you make Colossal Fighter, and that knowledge has kind of been lost, so it's sort of fun to see it come back
and
thrive in a completely random meta. Like,
I think so.
The fact that there were more Cleforts than BAs and Shadows is so funny.
I was trying to find a Storm list for Clefort.
Just to blow
storm.
Up.
Storm.
Yeah,
not really, Stormforth, but Storm.
Storm, because you used to just set, like, a sacrifice going first.
Yeah.
Or going second, sorry. And you just, like, stormed one of their back row, and you get a scout. And, like, the and the back row was often, like, a, you know, a bottomless...
MST, bottomless,
MST,
warning.
Warning.
Yeah.
I like Storm and Beat-Up. Sounds pretty good.
I love Storm, and it was, like, so cool. And you could storm them, plus stack your extra deck.
Get rid of their scales, set your
get
scales.
Get rid of your scales, yeah.
Yeah.
It was a really cool build, but I unfortunately only found one that was in January 2015.
Yeah.
Which is just at
the same. Exact same. There's, like, a really awesome, like, post-Secrets of Eternity Telenite list that I'm like, oh, it's playing two Triver.
Mm.
Oh, it's playing three Vanities. Like, this is exactly what I want, but...
Because the Telenites, I always remember their best build was when they had anti-spell with Triver loops.
Yep.
And you used to like, anti-spell them. They couldn't activate anything. They set everything, and then you Triver them, bounces it all back, and off
you go again. So I played Satellanite, and I was playing Jake Ruger's ARGCS November 2014 list.
Mm.
And the reason I like this list is, A, it's post-Netch. My opponent, who did beat me, was playing an October list, so he didn't have Triver, which was a big deal for me.
Yeah.
But this was an era
you
where...
You also... I don't think you had Oasis of Dragon Souls either.
No, people just
didn't...
Didn't
use
it? Or maybe they didn't have it.
I can't remember, honestly.
The thing about Telenites is it did take people a little bit of time to work out what the deck was. Because at first it was like this rank 4 turbo deck, but then Triver came out and it became this almost like inevitability engine where Triver loops would just win you the game because you'd loop Anti-Spell, Call the Haunted, Altairs. You could loop Cowboys for like more damage, which is very funny. And
Yes, you didn't have Oasis.
Oasis
was niche.
So they printed like a new Call of the Haunted, hilariously. And... I really like the 2015 lists that are on Constella Diamond, double Triver, playing three Vanities, because why not? And
you have Ptolemaeus.
I couldn't find one, so I played this list, which I actually think was quite good. It had Honest in the main to deal with towers.
Mm-hmm.
It had Chalice, you know, Duality, Soul Charge, Breakthrough Skill, Dimensional Prison, like all the good stuff. My main issue with it, and I think one of the reasons I lost to Dino on Xyz Infernities, is it did not play any hand traps. Like, no Maxi, no Veiler, no Crow, and... Like, going up against certain decks, you're just so disadvantaged if you can't clutch out a win. I didn't draw any Telenite monsters against them either of my games either, which was rough because, like, once Infernity kind of get off to the races, it's so hard to break what they set up, right? So, like, I would sit in my back row, but if it was an Alpha, it was just dead.
Yeah.
I had a dead Call of the Haunted that he popped, which, like, inevitably actually... lost me that game.
Yeah, I just want to touch on that because there's a lot of old rulings and ruling revisions.
This is like just like I had to set my hand for the best of it and hope I drew a monster. But then game two, he broke my Call of the Haunted blind. Or I think I like MST'd target his thing and then he like braked my thing. It was Call of the Haunted, and I'm like, ah, oh, I can't Reborn Deneb because it won't trigger, because it's not in the place and activation of location, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
Forgetting that in old format, it totally did trigger when you Reborn
Deneb. And in fact, Deneb was the example. Deneb was the example of, yeah, of location and place of trigger.
It was like Deneb or like...
Elantian Dragoons.
Yes.
Yes.
Those are the examples. So that's, yeah, something to really interesting to touch on is the Judge older... Yeah, the older rulings and the ways that things were revised. Obviously, decks pre-July 2014 drew for turn.
Yeah.
Decks pre-March 2012 had ignition priority.
Yeah, we played pre-Field Spell Errata. Yes. Oh, sorry, we played post-Field Spell Errata.
Yeah, just because it would ruin the decks that would be posted, I suppose. Like, if you had a Field Spell that would just stay there in your format if someone else activated a Field Spell, but then
I thought the Errata was Duelist Alliance, wasn't it?
It was the exact same ruling where you no longer drew for turn.
So
the example would be Laser Clip, would be the only one I can think of that really makes a difference. But we just figured it would... this is back to me and Greg in the first one. Yeah. I spoke to him about it and he said, no, it makes sense just for both people to have it, because it never really comes up with...
The only instance I believe that I can think of is Spellbooks, because of Grand Spellbook Tower. But realistically, again, like, that's such a fringe case, and generally one of them has a Junker now anyway, so you're not really going to be able to summon under them. And, like, your older examples are things like Gear Town. Like, that's, you know, if you're going to play, like, Gadget or, like, Redox Gadgets or something, like, that's not exactly a consideration that you'll be having.
The only thing I was missing from the deck was one Gandiva, and actually, like, thinking about my matchups, I would have loved Gandiva. Like, it's the best Xyz I think you can make besides Dweller versus Infernity, because they only summon level 4 and lower monsters.
So, yeah.
Like, potentially that cost me it too, but I can't find a Gandiva anywhere. Yeah. It's so hard.
The thing I struggled with the most was I had, like, a 5-card side deck, or a 4-card side deck. I had, like, a Regeki, a couple of Mirror Forces, a Curse Seal with the Forbidden Spell, which was meant to be triple of that, but that would have really helped against Spellbook.
Yeah.
It came out once against Spellbook, but like a one of, like, I know maybe going forward into the future we can perhaps even discuss with Greg about changing a few rules around the side deck, because that seemed to be the thing that most people struggled with.
It's full of jank. Like, they're always full of weird cards.
Yeah, I mean, like, my previous Clefort list before I stuck on this one was Alexander's Askaminov, who was YCS Milan top 4, and he sided 3 Jingjin Hoos. The continuous trap that froze two back row. And this list that I was on, Robin Soons was on 2-0 Jama Trio. Mm. And I was like, that's like such a weird... That's for BA, obviously, but like, that's such a strange card for the side. Yeah, it's an interesting discussion in terms of like the side decks of the time, because again, we are looking at this, like we as players of this multi-format event are looking back at the formats retrospectively, so we can analyze, okay, why does this deck only play one rotor? Why doesn't this deck play 3 upstart? Like, this is something that we can retrospectively look at and go, okay, these staples are crazy. Why are they not maxed out here? You can't, like, we just want to be shrinking them.
It's kind of like how GOAT format isn't representative of what the decks were at the time.
Exactly,
like, at the time, everyone's like, Solemn Judgment's a bad card, it costs half your life points. Now we understand that Solemn Judgment is the most insane card in GOAT and is, like, practically ban-worthy, like, with how impactful it is on game stats.
Yeah.
And I think the same could be done with old format. There's obviously the tendency that, like, well, every deck's going to side... You know,
three Maxi, three Vanities.
Max 3 Effect Veiler, 3, and just like max out on like the quote unquote Solemn Judgments of the format. But I think there is an argument to be made that like a little bit of flexibility in deck building would make it more attractive to people who like to brew.
Yeah.
Because I'd certainly love to do my spin on Infernity now. Like, I'd love to have a go at building like my own take on the list, and I don't get to do that with these cross banners cards.
No, and that is one disadvantage to them. But the issue is then, it's like you'll have lists that never deserve to play Vanity's Emptiness playing it because they didn't know it existed at the time. And you get a lot of issues like that.
How broken it would be to be like, oh, I'm going to play like this 2010 deck with Vanity's. Like, it's still not as good as the 2014 decks that were all maxed out on Vanity's is the thing. Like,
also, it wasn't out in 2010.
So. Sure, but like, I think it is a little bit unfair that some decks that already have advantages because they're newer, like VA and Dragon Rulers, get to play with that accumulated knowledge. That then, like, older decks that didn't have that accumulated knowledge or the broken cards can't play with. It would kind of even things out a little bit.
I mean, infamously, your Satella list plays one Vanities because he couldn't afford three.
He literally couldn't buy. Yeah. He was too poor.
Yeah, you couldn't afford the cards. Yeah. So, like, retrospectively, you're like, this
absolutely should be on three Vanities.
This man's like, I should be playing three, but I didn't have it.
Yes.
And that's the thing. It's like, you look at these older interviews and discussions, they're like, I didn't have it. Too expensive. Hard to find. Like, yeah. It's such a tough decision for... like these kind of formats of like how much give you allow for because there's so much you know, retrospective like that we can apply today's knowledge to these past formats to essentially refine the decks. Yes. Like there's so much in these builds that could be refined.
I discussed it in the car on the way back here.
Oh.
Dog? Hello.
Dog. That probably picks up on the mics, don't worry. Yeah. Just keep talking.
So there was you know, I thought about maybe you could have five cards you could swap out from the side and put five other cards in. So you're not, like, being able to, like, completely wipe a sideboard out and cater it to something else.
Mm.
The other thing, I guess, is what do you guys think about Dragon Rulers and Spellbooks being in a multi-format now? Because...
I mean, they're so powerful.
We've seen them dominate.
Only thing I would say is that there weren't a lot of Shadows and there weren't a lot of BAs. Mm. And I think that...
that could change things.
That quadrant of decks... we're really testing your ability to not say Shadals on the podcast. That quadrant of decks balance each other out in some ways.
Yes.
Like, I think the existence of Winder makes Dragon Rulers less strong.
Definitely.
I think, like, the resilience of BAs to interaction...
with that, they can just literally summon one dragon attack over.
But that's fine. It's one dragon, and that's their battle phase.
I suppose.
That's the consideration.
That's assuming they play through the back row that deck is playing. All the hate that deck can put in.
Because you're on, like, the trap builds. You have so many pieces of interaction, and you're right. Like, in terms of the Burning Abyss, they have so much resiliency. Tall Guide is very much legal.
Mm-hmm.
And the ability for that deck to recur, you know, we discussed that last night. Firelike of the Burning Abyss is a Raigeki that floats. Traveler of the Burning Abyss is basically a reborn spell.
Mm.
It's a Dark Souls for your entire archetype, but better because they just come back. And there's so many different builds that do kind of balance out those particular styles. Like, even in particular things like the, you know, the spellbook matchup, you go, okay, I play mass removal. I play Firelakes, I can get rid of your Jalkins before you can stick cards. I can pop your Star Halls before you can gain that much attack.
So the question is, like, obviously every cutoff point you pick is going to have some problems like this.
Yes.
Because if you pick, oh, well, we'll just, like, cut it to 2012, right? Like, let's say we cut to 2012, you can't play Dragon Rulers, you can't play Spellbooks. Like, everyone can just play the broken decks from exactly December 2012. Like, what would they be, like,
2012, you're looking...
Mermail Atlantean, or...
which is kind of fair.
I guess, but then if someone shows up with, like, a 2010 deck, it's going to feel completely imbalanced.
Teledad would be good then, maybe?
You think Teledad would be fine there?
I mean, that's the thing, is we saw, like, the very first multi-format event, we saw Brody on Teledad. And you're like, this deck's cool, can't be Shadal.
No.
Yeah.
And I think that's what we saw, and we've spoken about this at length before, like, the Duelist Alliance era... really did, like, push for Yu-Gi-Oh! To, like, a whole new level.
And I guess one of the issues is that 2014, as a cutoff point, attracts so many people. Because there's a lot of fondness for that exact year.
Yeah, exactly.
But the thing is, I don't think there's a lot of fondness for 2013 Yu-Gi-Oh!
No,
I think a lot of people hated that format.
I also think, like, you know, it's funny. I don't want to say that, you know, multi-format events are by any means accessible in terms of cards, but in particular... there are some strategies that have been a lot more widely available than others. Yeah. You know, you think of things like, I mean, I'm like, for my example off the top of my head, like if you wanted to play a 2012 format, Dark World is a deck that's really powerful in that time, but those cards are barely available. Things like Dino Rabbit, it's like you only just saw a Lagia reprint, a Dolka reprint last year.
Yeah, I forgot that, like, if it's 2012 format, it's in Zekta Windup matches, which is not what people want.
But that's the thing, is it's like, if you go back to that time, like, Windups have basically had no reprints since that time.
Yes.
Like, there's so much
of... that card have been kind of hit on the ban list.
Yeah, I mean, Zen Mighty's not there. And, like, Shark Magician were put to one. But that's the thing, is it's, like, not even that. Like, in terms of accessibility, they're basically impossible to find. So the older that they go back, or the older
harder,
potential,
yeah,
the harder it is to find. Yeah. And so that's why I think that we were pushing when we were discussing these alternative formats that have now been officially announced, by the way. We were looking at a leaked document.
Hmm.
But these official formats now, I think that this is an important thing that they need to address going forward, is provide these accessible reprints.
Bring the
like,
cards back,
you know, Grand Creators is now out, and we've seen basically all the Insecta cards reprinted, except for a goddamn Gigamantis, which I am still looking for, by the way.
Yeah, we're going to continue the podcast chat.
I will continue
Ruben's
not finding
searching.
Gigamantis, which is crazy.
So I guess, is the solution, like, we need to do a cross-format event, but, like, this one is 2015, or this one is 2016, or this one is 2017.
The problem is, like, you move into those years, and you've got Necroz, you've got Pepe. You've got these decks that would literally be Tier Zero in any format. I don't think that if you put a Pepe deck into what was there today...
It's not close, yeah.
It would not
be close. It's chalk, like, and cheese, yeah.
Potentially they might lose to a Jaugen, maybe. Probably not.
But, like, that's, you know, the, like, thing. Yeah, they have so much accessible.
I don't think they lose to a Jaugen. I don't think they do either, no. They play a ton of hand traps. Yeah. Like, that deck was kind of where the advent of playing a bunch of hand traps, like Troll, Veiler, Pro, like Maxi, were everywhere.
Ogre was out.
Ogre was out, yeah. Like, Ogre kind of stomps some of those decks.
Well, it's like you just normal spellbook, blue effect, Ogre. Okay, I've lost my spellbook, my spellcaster on board, so I can't do anything else.
You can't master, you can't life, yeah.
Yeah.
And I mean, it's tempting to go like, okay, we add 2015, but like we just gentlemen's out of gin, exactly.
I think you can just literally start like kind of banning cards within a multi-format, because we do that like already. We didn't allow FTKs.
I guess it has to
Begrudgingly, I had to accept.
They're not in the spirit of the game, right? So, like, I feel like if we maybe bring Necroz into it, we could do it with banning.
I do think you can make the argument of banning particular cards that aren't necessary for strategies.
Yes.
Like, I think banning Djinn is so easy, because Necroz was an insanely good deck without Djinn, and Djinn is just, like, not a fun... Because, like, if your deck doesn't exist in an era in which Book of Moon is available, or you have...
Dark Hole is available, Raigeki is available.
The Unicorn on the field, or the Clausulus, you literally have no chance. And that deck could get Djinn lock pretty much every time.
And the ease that deck can just put a Trish on board.
Yeah, exactly.
But Trish is cool because Trish is an archetype.
Trish.
Like,
I love that you can play around Trish.
Like,
the
build around Trish is just so unique. Yeah, like 2015, you would see a much more advanced format of Cleaforts. You would see Infernoids coming out. Yeah. BAs get Farfa. They get Virgil. Yeah. Like,
okay,
they have...
Okay, then, quick round table. What ban cards? What cards do you ban that you think, like, don't necessarily... Like, you can't ban Vanities because so many decks just played it. It would be hard to find
it. It was also part of the format. Like,
what cards from 2015 do you just have to ban?
Well, you have to ban Djinn.
You have to ban Djinn.
You have to ban that, yeah.
I think you can make an argument you have to ban Towers. I think Towers Turbo just becomes like this horrible thing that exists.
Then you kill Klaze. You just kill Klaze.
I don't know though. I don't think you do. You can still play Stealth, right? You can still play that. Because Klaze were definitely a deck. Like, I didn't play Towers.
In my
Secrets of Eternity deck, I did not play Towers.
I'm sure there are Klee lists that didn't play Towers.
I didn't play it. I played Triple Stealth, Monolith.
Because you had Crab King in the format, you had so many outs to it that it wasn't.
And like, Stealth, have you, like, when you summon Stealth against a, like, a BA board or, like, other Duelist Alliance decks, you can just bounce the whole entire field and they don't get anything back and then they can't respond to it. And that was, summoning a Stealth was as good as summoning Towers and Dimes.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, sure, if you put a Towers on board and there's no out in their deck, you auto-win, but you have to put a lot of resources into summoning that Towers.
My theory is that 2014 Klee's is not Towers Turbo. Towers is, like, the inevitability win condition.
Wavering Eyes would probably be the... Yeah.
If you put in Towers Turbo, then every deck pre-Towers Turbo who isn't playing, quote-unquote, outs to Towers...
Just insta-loses
to that. Yeah. Like, going second, insta-lost. Because you just make Towers and you lose. So you have to ban Towers.
And trust me, they're definitely good clay lists without Towers. Yeah.
What other cards do you think just fit in that bracket? Like, there is an argument you just, like, axe the Dragon Ruler Spellbook decks, but I think if you introduce 2015, they're not as powerful.
Correct, yeah.
I would agree.
So I think those are fine.
I think there could be adjustments we could do. And I mean, I could always chat to Greg and see if we can come up with anything new for the next one. Like,
I just want to play Constella Diamond. I just want to play Constella Diamond.
This is Lucas's personal petition to be able to play.
January 2015. It's not even broken.
Like, I feel like players around the country get excited when they think about Infernoid. Yeah, exactly.
Infernoid's a fan favorite.
Yeah. Necroz is a fan favorite.
I think the fact
it.
That you can play early Pepe without, like, everything, like, without Pensor, is kind of fun because. Yeah. That
well, you have like Draco Pals.
Yeah, you have Magispectors.
No, Magispectors went out.
That's Bosch.
No, they were Dimension of Chaos.
Yeah.
You would have Stick Chair.
Yeah, yes. Ooh, Stick Chair, Satellite Knights 1.
Yeah, Stick Chair Tellers. You would have Clown Blade, Clown Dolls.
Clown Dolls was probably one of my favorite decks. Not Clown Dolls, sorry. Clown Cross. I love playing Necroz with clowns. It was so cool.
Did you have Totally Heroes?
Totally Heroes, Inoff.
A little bit later.
Inoff.
When was Inoff?
2016. After Shvi. After Shining Victories.
I'm looking it up.
Yeah. I think though one thing we'll
you'd have Monarchs.
Yes, you would. Ooh, oh, that would be yeah, that's, that, cool. That's a really good and Cosmo. Just at the start of Cosmo. Not very good Cosmo.
Not very good Cosmo because you do not have Dark Destroyer.
It's you Farm Girl.
It's Farm Girl. It's Farm Girl Forerunner.
Yeah.
Farm Girl. Farm Girl Slipout Forerunner.
That you can play Cosmo like we played essentially 2015 decks in 2014 format.
Yeah.
I think is exciting. So like maybe there's an argument that we push it forward, and then like if people like it, we just push into 2016. We ban, like, I don't know, a couple cards there.
Yeah.
Plush Fire. we can do the E-ban for 2016. We can just say, like, exactly that emergency ban list is in action.
I think the problem is if you go too far, it becomes less of a, I guess, a retro kind of thing.
It does.
And you're just like, I've got this deck from 2 years ago. Do you want to play it?
Yeah.
I think Toss is, like, the cutoff. In fact, I think Master Rule 4 is the cutoff.
I think as well, like, no one wants to play against...
Okay, maybe Zodiac's the cutoff,
I think everything Zodiac, Raging Tempest onwards is... Yeah. You just can't play.
You cannot play that.
Because, like, even before Raging Tempest, you had, like, Windwitch Invoked, Blue Eyes...
I would argue everything before Bosch.
Yeah.
That makes sense, because that's, like, yeah. I mean, Infinity, right?
Raging Tempest is a sequence of Zodiac into... Nightmare Link into Goki into Spiral. It's literally a sequence of Tier Zero decks. It's like so stupid. And I guess like Trickstars fit in there a little bit. World Chalice had a moment, but like other than that, it was like Tier Zero, Tier Zero, Tier Zero, Tier Zero, Tier One,
Toss format.
Like everything got really homogenous for a bit. I mean, Toss format, I would love.
I think I would love
to play a Toss
format. I would love to actually... A Toss format tournament seems like something that absolutely could be done. And you just go, great, pick one.
Because that's where I started, I didn't get to play it that much.
And I think also if you were to do something like that, you would go, right, you can't mix the decks.
I'll play Salad.
You can't play Striker Orcus.
Combo Tedra any day.
And that's the thing. It's like they just go, okay, you play the deck in its singularity. You don't get to mix Striker Orcus. You don't get to mix Striker with cards. Like, you would be like...
I think Striker Orcus, I would consider post-Toss. I would actually
because that was post-Mermaid ban.
Yeah, yes. And that was also, like, after... Like, no one was really playing pure Striker anymore. Like, people were, but it wasn't popular.
Because it was Salamangreat, one Kagari.
Salamangreat had mostly fallen out of favor in the format, so it was, like, fringe True Draco players, Tedra players that were still holding onto it, and then Striker Orcus being the best deck by, like, leagues. Whereas I think, like... Yeah, like, pre... Striker Orcus Toss, where it was literally like, okay, there is Orcus playing kitchen sink, whatever. Maybe they were playing engaged.
It's the Bardiche stuff, right?
So it would be like post Bardiche, pre Mermaid ban.
I think just after Mermaid got banned is like the sweet spot for Toss. Like before everyone had labbed out Striker Orcus as the best deck, I remember going to like Geek Culture Champs and it was literally like pure Striker, pure Tedra, pure Salad, pure True Draco. Pure Orcus, like everywhere.
It was like Dark Warrior Orcus, like there was it was just like a bit more of like an interesting event.
There was that, like there was that horrible Azold Orcus deck.
I could play some.
Do you know who played that?
Yeah,
it was Harry, by the way.
Harry played that. Yeah,
Harry played Azold Orcus, so that was a very sweet memory.
But kind of going back to the multi format, I think one thing that stands out to me is it's really hard to like get people into it because of the card accessibility.
Yeah. Yes, I mean we were all bulk diving this morning, so
you look around the room today, and everyone was having fun.
Yes.
It was like everyone was playing with a smile on their face. Like it was, it was more of a casual tournament, but like everyone was just like absolutely vibing. Like, you know,
vibing
was
so hard.
Like the Harpies player was like, I saw a really cool game between Harpies and Sylvans.
Yep.
And I was playing my own game and I was kind of just like watching their game.
You were playing Cleafort, so you weren't having any fun.
I didn't have any fun. But like, you just saw like people smiling, enjoying the slower pace of Yu-Gi-Oh, but like not so slow that it's like, leagues apart from what we're playing at the moment.
Yeah.
And I think that's why it is such a success and so fun.
And the fact that like I lost my Telenite match because I didn't know Deltaros couldn't summon from grave. Like that minute of like an interaction.
Or you could, or like if you attempted to reborn the Deneb, it still searches. Yeah. Even if call is popped. Yeah.
Mattered more than like my VDub games where I was just like, I opened 5 Garnets, I lost immediately. Yeah. And there was no chance for me to come back.
Speaking of that, Zach, he used to play that deck.
He did,
religiously back in that format. Like, I felt only like he played Satellite.
I felt like a little bit of an intimidation going into that era, because I'm just like, I haven't read these cards very well. I haven't read these in a while, and you played them back in the day. So.
I think I watched your first game today as well, which was triple Call of the Haunted and double Alpha.
My first hand, again, keeping credit with my first hands of these tournaments being bricks, was triple Call of the Haunted, double Alpha, top decked an Alpha, and I was like,
And you were like, against Tash, who was playing Harpies, and...
All she needs to find is a hunting ground.
I didn't want
to
set my hand because I was like, oh my god, it's all going to die. And then like I top decked a monster and I'm like, well, now that I have Deneb, this is the most insane freaking hand I've ever drawn, because I'm protected, I double alpha, call the haunted, like, oh man, it was so good.
But like, even like, I looked across, Keza was playing wind-up hand loop, and like, yeah, he just hand looped a Dragon Ruler player, and like, they were both smiling and laughing about it.
Like, who cares?
Whereas like, you know, when it's a more serious tournament, you lose. I know, I definitely get gutted when I lose.
Salty as hell.
Yeah, you just put all this work into it.
You feel a bit down because, you know, like, we, you know, I put like, no, I could have probably put more effort into the 3v3 preparations, but like, you put effort into it and you think that you know, I thought we were going to do a lot better than we did. That's my opinion.
Sure, yeah.
Yeah. And I was excited. I was like, oh, we could actually take this thing out, you know, and then round one you lose and you're like, oh, man.
Yeah. Round one losses suck everywhere.
But like, in this one, you lose a game and you're like, you know what? I enjoyed losing to that. That was fun.
I think part of why that happens is the fact that you pick a topping list from the past. Because it's like, well, I lost, but it's Jake Ruger's fault for not playing 3 vanities. I'm going to be real. Like, come on, if I played 3 vanities, I would have beaten every... You know,
yeah, it's
you can kind of be cheeky about, like, old lists. And, yeah, okay, maybe sometimes you're playing, like, a Patrick Hoban list or, like... And you're like, okay, I'm not as good as Patrick Hoban, so I think it's probably my fault.
I think those lists as well, they're very much in a time capsule. And, like, you, as you say, you read these cards and you're like, why was that in there? And there will be a niche reason.
Oh, Jama Trio was for BA. For BA. Honest was for Towers.
Exactly.
Like, yeah.
And there are really weird cards as well. You're like, why did they use that?
Spell Shatterings. Because you're like, why? You're just like, you're just popping back, Rob. Like,
for the mirror, apparently.
Yeah, apparently.
Yeah,
but
well,
it's.
Yeah. No, and I think it's really cool. It gives people that didn't experience those formats a chance to experience the formats. It brings up interactions that you've never seen before. Like, who would ever have thought playing Clefort against Spellbook? Like, that's not a matchup you think about. Like,
I can attest to the fact, looking at the time, we spent 40 minutes talking about cross-format and 20 minutes talking about modern format.
Yes,
so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I will also say that even though it's inaccessible, it's quite budget too. Like, a lot of the lists we put together were like plat red, Book of Moons, and like gold droplets. It's like...
You
not droplets, chalices.
Chalices.
Like, it's actually pretty cheap unless you want to go the route of max, which
you don't need to.
Shane and Scott and me and Ruben were doing, which is fun as well, because you can be like, oh, I've got like two Ghost Deltaros, and even though I never summoned the second one, it's so pretty.
Yeah, I was like, oh yeah, I mean, of course I'm playing my
ulti-dualities
in Cleese,
like,
which are European first ed secrets. Like, I can't have, and it's like original print Ultra Scouts, sacrifices.
I played some real ones, and I've got some super ones I think I was playing today.
Yeah,
but the fact is we chucked bulk on the floor.
And
we managed to build decks
Phil went
I mean, I
want to,
I'd love to shout out right now that Phil Brooks went 4-1 with an
Evil
Swarm deck that we built last night.
Out
of bulk.
We were literally like, this deck's pretty nice and simple. Like, you can do well with it. Summon Ophion, set your traps.
Which, Joe, I think
you
can attest, that's how Evil Swarm deck builders used to play anyway.
Exactly.
They just dug through bulk and were like, I don't know, I'll play this. This will do well. And they
traps
go like...
and Ophion.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They just be like, I don't know, I'll play like Solemn Wishes. That'll be fine. And then they still top because it's Ophion pass. Is enough.
And it was crazy. Like, I think that was the one thing that we were discussing with, you know, Phil and even, you know, Shane and Scott, who also were here as well. You know, we were like, okay... This was the only deck during 2013 that popped up. Like, in that particular Lord of the Tachyon Galaxy format, you were only experiencing Dragon Rulers and Spellbooks, but Evil Swarm made themselves known.
Yeah.
Because
Pandemic
of...
for Spellbooks and Ophion for Dragon Rulers.
Yeah.
Done.
Yeah. And it was just so cool that there was, like, in a bulk, you know, an Evil Swarm deck that we could pull together, find a list, had all the cards, like, commons.
Well,
some of them were kind of hard to find.
Quit in Duelist Alliance format,
exactly.
So he just had everything.
He literally has, like, a capsule of that format in bulk, which helped a lot. But, like, I really enjoyed the experience of, like, last night building decks together and then seeing the people play these decks the next day and do well and, like, have fun. Like, you should
see... When you come out to Auckland, we'll do it there.
Yeah, we can do it there. Yeah, I mean... You saw Phil's face when he beat Dino in that game.
Yeah.
Like, he was just like, yes! You
and
know,
you
like,
saw Dino's face when he lost to Phil.
Exactly.
He's like, that's a flying C on the board.
Oh, man.
Oh, yeah. But
when he top decked, what was the card he top decked?
Kirkion.
Yeah.
And it's just like, you son of a... Okay, I'm dead.
And shout out as well to Cheese TCG, Connor, for sticking with Sylvans. Like,
coming 19th out of
19
players.
But, I mean, he stuck with a cool deck.
He won the
3v3,
so he's fine.
Rough. Yeah, it's very rough in that format. But like,
we were discussing it in the car, actually, over here, that Sylvans succeeded in a time post-September 2013 ban list that killed Judgment, the Spellbooks, and Dragon Rulers, but pre-Duelist Alliance before the entirety of that deck, those deck cores
came
out.
They were like the DDD of their time. They got like 2 weeks to be meta, and then...
It got one, or I think...
It was Cody Angeloff.
Hoban's list...
Was it Hoban, or was it Cody Angeloff?
Cody Angeloff won a YCS with it.
Yes, but Hoban topped Durandalis Alliance format, I believe, with Sylvan's.
Mm. That is correct, too.
Yeah. So, but they're different players.
It's like how Jeff Jones would just like keep playing Bujins, and everyone's like, Jeff, the deck's dead. And he's like, no. Check this out.
Yeah.
Tsukuyomi, honest. And everyone's like, oh, fucking Jeff, stop. I'm sick of this shit.
So I guess, like, I mean, I can't see the time.
An hour.
Oh, great. I mean, what a great time. I'm timekeeping. But I guess final thoughts for this. What is a deck that you would like to see played at a multi-format event? Like, what's a deck that either you've already seen once, maybe at the Dunedin one, or you saw here, or maybe something that's, like, in the history books that just hasn't been piloted?
My one is definitely Trap Burn and Abyss. And, like, I know I've said that before at the start, but I feel like that one there just has no deck like it where, you know, it can float. It has back row that just does a lot for you, and like it can just out a lot of things, and it can end games really fast.
It's like Tri Brigade now. Very it's like much everything like, floats, everything pops, everything.
Everything gets a does punish. Something. Yeah. And it's, you know, Dante Mill, make a Virgil, shuffle away, turn, attack, gain. You know, it's very cool. It's very fast. I believe it will keep up with Spellbooks and Dragon Rulers. I'd like to see it though.
I would, I mean, for me, and I'm absolutely going to make it my goal for the next one, is Insectors. I would love to be Hornet Dragon Flying People, because I think it is such a unique strategy that came out of Order of Chaos that, you know, obviously wind-ups were everywhere. Mm. But Insectors is just like, you just have Dragonfly and you can break the board.
It's funny because wind-ups does, I think, hang the best in the modern stuff, because I think wind-up hand loop would still be like, Sword Soul now, right? Like, if they lost four cards out of their hand, what are they gonna do? Like, a lot of the time they're just dead.
Yeah.
Whereas I think Insectors are, like, a little slower. Yes. They kind of remind me of Teladad, where, like, they win the game because they pop all your stuff, but, like, if you just set up a board, they can't really do anything. And if you they go first, they can't really do anything. But I do like it. It's a cool engine.
What about you, Lucas? What's a deck that you'd like to see represented at a multi-format? Whether it's already been done or you'd like to see it again?
The tough thing is the decks I like are from, like, 2016. So, like, Totally Heroes Metal Foes would be awesome. Like, I think those decks hang in the realm that isn't, like, so broken.
Mm.
Decks like Cosmo. Like, I guess I like the underdogs. And I was saying to Joe as well, we should probably do one of these that is, like, only, not exactly non-meta, because you still have to get topping lists, but, like, the fringe. You're not allowed to play the stuff like BA that just topped 700 YCSs. Mm. You gotta play Sylvans, Battery Men, the Harpy lists.
Yeah.
People who were just playing Watts. You know, like stuff like that would be really fun too, because it would only generate jank matches and no one would have to lose to Jaugen Pass or like, hey, I drew five Dragon Rulers and Super Rejuve. Haha. Like, there are some interactions in old Yu-Gi-Oh! That just blow.
Yeah.
And you're just like, what was I supposed to do?
One deck that I kind of thought about was, I know it's not great, but Blackwings a pretty decent deck.
Well, like Vayu Turbo is pretty cool.
Yeah. Oh yeah, the Vayu Blackwings.
Yeah.
That was valuable, like, post Blackwings being originally meta.
I remember it was just like a synchro spam deck. There was a list that Karen Sommer won GP champs with. I think it was a bit later on. I think it might be 2016.
Mm.
But his whole thing was like he made like a Key Beetle Vanity Lock with Blackwings and like
Jesus.
That's what he did. Yeah.
Well, you can do that Infinity season well. Infinity.
So I guess that deck does it better. But there's definitely a lot of decks on the fringe that we haven't thought about.
Like
X-Sabers is another one.
X-Sabers, you know? Spark Heroes that you have at home.
Like nothing that won Worlds, nothing that won a YCS, right? Like that would be the rule, I guess. And like
it's very hard to place. Like it'll be very similar to the non-meta thing where we like it's hard to define it completely.
True, but it's easier when it's a format that's already happened.
Solved, yeah.
Like everyone knows that in Duelist Alliance format the best decks were Cleese, Shadols, Burning Abyss,
correct,
Telenites, like I mean, and Infernities.
Yeah,
and that was the best deck. Spellbook and Dragon Rulers.
So all you have to do is say if you're playing a 2014 deck, those decks are banned.
Yes.
So you can play Yang Zings. You can play you know, I guess Cleefort's kind of wasn't that dominant in that
not
era.
Until 2000,
like, you know what I mean? Like
yeah.
You can still play Cleese and Yang Zings and like whatever other jank pendulum deck was possible with the structure deck and stuff like that, but you can't play the most broken stuff, and I think that would be awesome. Like
it would be.
You play 2012 format, you got Dark Worlds, you got Hero Beat, you got Piper Chaos, you got, you know, I think that would be sick.
I think so, yeah.
And maybe you get a bit more lenient, like, oh, if you go back to 2011, you can just play Tengu Plants. Like, no one's going to be mad at you for
TG
playing.
Agents, yeah.
No one's going to be mad at you for playing Tengu Plants, that's fine.
Do you guys think there will be like more of these in New Zealand? Do you reckon that would be a thing that we should carry on? Like,
I reckon we're
going to
do
it
in Auckland, like, for sure. We can talk.
I mean, we're seeing more stores now opening up to the time, now that it's officially sanctionable
I mean,
event format.
When Wilson was a shuffle, they were doing GOAT, and I think they've started doing Edison and, was it another format?
No, it is. It's GOAT and Edison.
GOAT and Edison and Hamilton.
Mm.
And I think that's a good example as well, is to, like, pick an era and just go, like, that's the era. Edison, again, like Goat, a little more fun because you can build your own decks.
I think Edison is cool. Goat, I think I've spoken about this before lots of times. I just
not your thing.
Like, the amount of times I've been like, they had Pot of Greed and Duo, I lost. Like, it's kind of like
it replicates a modern Yu-Gi-Oh disappointment of like, oh, they drew Khaleesi and Moye. Like, yeah, exactly. It isn't as fun.
I quite like the Edison format. I think that multi-format tournaments spark excitement in the community. And
what is the Dwyer format called? Like, does it have a name?
No.
Just Duelist Alliance. Like, I mean, it would be cool if it had a name, because I think it actually is a pretty good one.
It might, but
not to my knowledge. I do just recognize it as the Duelist Alliance format. Because
you got Toss, Edison, Goat. Like, Duelist Alliance needs, like,
I can't really think of any other format that's been defined by a set name.
I mean, you could call it Four Horsemen, because it really was, like, these four decks.
But then there was a fifth and, like, Necros.
No, it was Burning Abyss. It was Shadols. It was
Cleese and Zatellas.
Cleese and Zatellas.
Yeah, okay.
So, like, it's the Four Horsemen set.
Yeah.
What did you call them? God formats?
I suppose it is,
God formats are when there are like 10 or more variable meta decks, like in any format. It's more of a Magic the Gathering thing because they don't have tier 1 formats like ever.
I saw Uro, but yeah, that's fine.
Four Horsemen's pretty cool. I mean, that was also a Magic the Gathering thing, but that references their first 4 expansions.
Sure.
So it's a bit different.
I guess you could argue in a way that Eternal format, yes, it was a try kind of format, but sneak Pendulum in there and it's kind of the same.
But they got Toss, you know.
Yeah, Toss, I suppose. Yeah.
Toss is a good
Toss thing. Is cool.
Toss is a good.
Oh, you abbreviate the 4 decks, BA, Shadol, Cleave, Q makes it really tough.
They're also all consonants.
Yeah, well.
There you go. That's probably why it's Duelist Alliance format.
Yeah, Duelist Alliance format or Four Horsemen.
Someone from one of those countries like the Netherlands that don't use vowels. Can you find a word that works for that?
Yeah.
But I think all in all, a great weekend so far for us. Obviously, you know, we've got all day here. But I think it's been amazing to see this local store, see a new environment of people, very welcoming, very inviting.
Yeah.
I would like to make a particular shout out to the female Yu-Gi-Oh players.
That's true.
You are important and you are valid. Yeah. And I want to see more female Yu-Gi-Oh players into the future.
I didn't want to like talk to them about it because I'm just like, I don't want to bring it up, but it's so exciting to see. I mean, non-men playing Yu-Gi-Oh, like, you know, I'm non-binary and, like, don't feel like I see a lot of, you know, non-men playing card games in general.
Yeah.
So I was happy.
That's amazing. And I think Palmerston North has got a great community. Obviously, Joe, I know you've worked very hard to build it.
I'll talk with Joe, too, because talking to Tash, she said, like, you were the one that approached her and said, like, you want to play hobby? Like, you were getting her excited about...
I think...
She was there casually and you got her into, like, playing it.
Yeah, I'm super stoked with our community. Like, I feel like... Everyone in there is, we're all super friendly with each other. Like, it's a very, like, welcoming thing. Like, any players out there in Palmy that do want to play, like, don't hesitate. Just come in and play. Like,
or anywhere outside of Palmy's North, close.
Yeah, it's not a scary hobby. Like, there's not meta just dominating everything. Everyone brings the decks that they want to play and have fun with. And it's growing. Like, we've got, like, 16-plus regular players. So, like,
And that's amazing. I think that, you know, Yu-Gi-Oh's doing really well. Obviously, if anyone listening enjoys Master Duel and is around the Palmerston North area, why not enjoy some cards in person and hop down to Valkyrie Games and play some hobby? And obviously, thank you to Valkyrie Games for hosting these great events.
They were great,
Be sure to check out their Facebook page and come down to their regional, which is hosted online. The 12th of March.
They sell stuff online. Go buy singles.
Go buy the... Go buy product.
I was actually really tempted. They have heaps of secret lairs, like the magic secret lairs that you can't get without pre-ordering. So I was like, do I spend all my money on these or do I buy your cards? What do I do?
And I'll do a quick shout out as well to Toby and Morgan, like the two the staff members there that helped us out. Yep. Like Toby, the manager of Valk, he put on a great event in the end. Like it was, we went in, we actually had 3 teams show up that weren't registered, and we had to quickly throw some tables upstairs, but we made it work. And it was overall a very successful event. Valkyrie were like very shocked that 48 players showed up. They'd never seen that many Yu-Gi-Oh players in one place before. And now they're really excited for the regional. And I want to see those numbers again. Like, I want to see players out of town.
You will.
In, and I think we will.
You will. Yeah. So yeah, be sure to check out Valkyrie Games and make sure to attend their regional on the 12th of March. Obviously, it's going to be a great one. That's the Battle of Chaos. And you have the chance of winning a deck box. That's a new design that I can't announce yet. and a playmat that involves the illusion of chaos design on it. Mm. But I mean, that's pretty much us, obviously. Thank you so much to everyone who has listened. Please feel free to, if you are listening along with us on YouTube, like, comment, and subscribe. Share it with your friend. It does help, as always.
Leave us a review on Apple Podcasts.
Leave us a review on your favorite podcasting app.
We should make that clear. Like, leaving a review on Apple Podcasts is, like, crazy good. Like, compared to liking and subscribing, it's, like, 10 times.
I think even Spotify has a rating system.
Spotify has a rating system, too.
You can, rate us on your preferred podcasting app or method. Obviously, that helps as well. Share with a friend.
We need to like tighten this down. I feel like we always have like so much.
I've got it. I feel like I always have it, and I get interrupted. I have a good memory.
There's so much to cover.
But I mean, like, I think I've got it. I feel like now I've been thrown off the groove. I got kicked off. Questions, comments, concerns, or queries or rulings that you'd like to know more about, please feel free to email us at thefacedowns@gmail.com. We will be doing a podcast answering the question that was given to us. We've had some incredible responses and can't wait to analyze that one. Please feel free to let us know if you have anything you'd want us to talk about, anything, any old formats you'd like to hear more about, any old formats you'd like to play, any old decks you'd like to play.
That, like, we forgot or just haven't really brought up that isn't, that we've mentioned. I mean, we talked about a lot of it, but.
And I think even, like, give us some thoughts on the current format.
Yeah, we've got a new format starting tomorrow as of in New Zealand. So let us know what you think is going to be taking the game's tier going forward, because it's definitely not Drytron.
Ross says adventure is bad in PK. Ross says adventure is crap in PK, so let's see if that's true.
Let's see how that one hangs. And as always, thank you so much for listening. I'm Ruben.
I'm Lucas.
And I'm Joe.
And you've been listening to The Face Downs.
I can't even
We've always been terrible. That's the secret. Such a troll, Joe. Such a troll.